as I was driving around with Kent last night through Maastricht, I remembered that I had some contact with a lady. I'm originally from Texas. If you hear a deep drawl or accent, you know that. But this lady from Texas, she used to come here to Maastricht for like 3 or 4 months at a time, and she would pray for the city. And she would visit the churches and try and encourage people to pray. And she was praying for God to do something here in the city. This was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago that this was happening. And as far as I know, I lost contact with her. She's gone back, gone on with her life or whatever. But I think that you guys are connected to something bigger, a greater thing that was already happening in the city before you guys got here. And that's, you know, going to continue on. You know, God's been working where we're at before we were there, and he's going to keep working when we're gone. And so we're part of something bigger. And so I just want to encourage you guys that God wants to do something here in Maastricht, and he wants to do something in your life and through your life and for the people who are around you. And so it's not by accident that you're here today. And I'm excited to be here with you and to share a little bit today. Today, what I'd like to talk about is the power of choice. You know, in our culture today, in our society today, people value choice. Actually, they demand it. There's a high value on choice. And I don't know if you realize sometimes how many choices we have to make. I'm from Texas, and so in Texas, you go into a steakhouse and you're going to order a steak. You say, I like the steak, you know, and then what kind of steak do you want? Okay, I want this cut of steak. Well, then this series of choices you have to make. You think it's a pretty easy, just go in, I'm going to order a steak, but no. How would you like that cooked? Rare, medium rare, you know, medium, well done, you know. They're going to ask you, do you want it totally burnt, you know? They're going to ask, then they're going to say, okay, so I want it medium. Well, what kind of seasoning do you want that? You know, we can put pepper, we can put lemon pepper, or we have this Jack Daniel's seasoning we can put on it. And so you, okay, pepper. Well, you get to choose three side orders with that. Okay, what do you have? Okay, I'll take carrots, potatoes, and a salad. Oh, would you like your potatoes mashed or boiled or french fries with that? Oh, well, okay, I'll take mashed potatoes. Well, what kind of dressing would you want in your salad? Would you like Thousand Island or Or we have a balsamic vinaigrette, you know, and so you pick your dressing, and it keeps going. What would you like to drink? Yeah, we have Coke, Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Coca-Cola Light. No, hold on, I just want some tea. What would you like, hot tea or iced tea? Iced tea. Well, would you like sweet tea or unsweet? I mean, it just keeps going on. We have a lot of choices. We have to make a lot of choices in our life, but our choices. Now, if you just watch a TV commercial, there are people that understand that your choices are important, because your choices, you choose how you're going to invest your time and money. And there's a lot of people who want to influence your choices. So today, I want to think about some of these choices. You know, some of the important choices you'll face are: what will you study? Who will you marry or not marry at all? Where will you live? What will your career or work be? The most important choice, I believe, is what do you do with Jesus Christ? Who you follow? God gave us the power of choice. And there's power in our choices. There's power in obedience. I grew up in church, and we used to sing this song. It was called, you guys had a video running today with all the fire going and the iron. It was called Refiner's Fire. And there's a line in that song that says, I choose to be holy. You see, following God, obeying him is a choice. And holiness and purity in our life is a choice. And so I want us to think about some of those choices today. I chose at a young age to follow God. I was blessed that my parents were Christians, and they exposed me to Christ and faith at a very young age. And I remember every week, you know, we had these little wooden chairs. I don't know if you've seen them, but they're you know, just miniature chairs, and we'd sit on them. And every week we would pray. And we would pray for Jesus to come. And I remember one week, I was like, man, I've already done this 12 times. I don't need to do this again. And I said, well, I'll just do it anyway and go along. But it was a realization in my life. It sounds simple, might sound funny, but it was a realization in my life that we have had a relationship with Christ. And that relationship formed and influenced my life through the years of what I would do and choices I made. It had an influence on those choices. When I was about 14 or 15, I was part of a youth group. And in Texas, when you're in a youth group and you want to do what they call a mission trip, you want to go do some cross-cultural ministry, you load up in a beat-up van and you go south. And south of Texas is Mexico. So we would go across the border, and we had beans and rice, and we would go into the poor body over there, and we would hand out these beans and rice. I couldn't speak Spanish. They gave me a cassette tape. And I don't know if you remember. Ancient time when they used to have these things called cassettes. And we'd take this cassette tape and play it for people and have a little gospel message. And, you know, I can't say that I remember any life-changing experience that we changed someone's life in the time when I was there. But I do know the impact it had on the 14, 15-year-old kid and how God spoke to my life. And I want to encourage you that when God speaks to you about something, he was speaking to me about this whole cross-cultural ministry thing. And when God speaks to you about something, that is the best time to respond. Now, at that point at 15, I didn't go sell everything I had and move overseas. But I said yes in my heart to what God was confronting me with. And it's important that when we hear God's voice, that we make some response at that moment. Because, you know, there's a lot of voices in our life. There's a lot of noise in our life. And it's easy to drown out what God has spoken to us. And so I encourage you, when God speaks to you, say yes in that moment and choose. Go ahead and begin the obedience in your heart and then do what he's asked you to do. You know, you think about choices, different choices people make. I was thinking about meditating on, you know, all of the disciples who were following Jesus betrayed him or abandoned him. But if you look at the different choices on what they made after that, Peter, he chose to repent. Jesus restored him. Judas, he chose to take his life. And that was the end of the story. So there is power in the choices we make. And there's consequences for the choices. So I'd like you to look at Luke 15 today. I'm just going to read through it, if you'll give me the slide on that. Luke 15:11 says, Jesus continued. There was a man. See, Jesus had already been talking. He'd been talking about a lost coin. He'd been talking about a lost sheep. And this story is called the lost son, or sometimes called the prodigal son. So this is a story Jesus told to his followers. He said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off to a distant country, and there squandered his wealth. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him any. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving again? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father said to him, saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and put his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you've never even given me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. We see there's three characters in this story. The father, the older son, and the younger son. And maybe you've heard this story many times and read it, but my hope today is just that God will enlighten some new things to us from it. The younger son made a choice. He had a choice, he made a choice, and there was consequences to his choice. There was consequences to him. There was consequences to his family. There was consequences to his family's fortune and probably their business, their livelihood. You know, he decided, I want to get what's coming to me, and I'm gonna take off. I want what I have coming to me. I want it now, and I'm gonna go do my own thing. Pretty big choices. Pretty drastic choices. So I began to think his mother and father. They were probably sad to see him go. They were probably worried. What is this? What is our young son going to do? He's taking these drastic things. We're worried about him. They might have been hurt. Why is he treating us like this? What have we done to him that he would pick up and leave like this? Now, his brother, he might have been envious, jealous. How come he gets to go and I stay here and have to work? But maybe it was frustrating. Look how irresponsible my brother's being. Any of you have brothers or sisters? you ever get a little... my kids do it all the time. Why does he get that? And I didn't. It's not fair. You know, you ever said that? You ever heard it? It's not fair. Why did they get to go do that and I'm here? Why did they get two pieces of candy and I only got one? It's not fair. Now, I imagine, thinking about their family, it might have been more probable for him to keep his resources there together with their family business, whatever they were doing. Probably for him and his family. But he chose to, he said, Dad, I want what's mine. I guess they had sheep, they sold the sheep or whatever, they sold the goats or whatever they need to sell. And he took the money and ran. Now, he made another decision after this. But before going to his next decision, I want you to realize that our choices don't only affect us. I talked about his mom and his dad and his brother. Our choices that we make affect others around us too. And it's easy to get this mentality, it's all about me. You know? I know somebody that made an email address is me at itsallaboutme.com. And, you know, a little selfish. But the choices we make affect other people. For example, my wife and I, when we decided to step into this overseas ministry and leave our home and leave from living nearby our families, those decisions affect them too. I have four children, so I have two sets of grandparents that are not really happy that I'm seven time zones away, you know. There are consequences, and there are also the choices that I made to come and raise my children here. My 12-year-old says to me, I don't have a home. I just move around, you know. I'm a global nomad. Anybody else here feel like that? So my choices affect them. So just realize that our choices not only affect us, but they affect the others, the community around us. And so this was a normal occurrence with this young man, the breaking away from family. This is a normal thing, but, you know, I suppose there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And I don't get the feeling that the point of Jesus' story here was that he was doing it necessarily the right way. You know, and as I began to process this story through the thought of choices, I also began to think the father made a choice. When his young son came to him and says, "Dad, I want the money now, I want to go." You know, he was the dad. He still could have said, "No, you're too young, you're too irresponsible, you can't do it." Have you ever gone and asked your parents for something? They said, no, you're not going to do that. My 12-year-old says, "Dad, you know, I've learned all I can from school. I think I just need to read books and stop going to school." As a dad, I say, "No, Andrew, you're going to keep going to school." And we battle about this on a regular basis. But his father could have done that. He could have pulled rank and he says, "I'm not giving you the money." You know, and I imagine the young man would have left it. He would have taken off. But his dad said, "No. He wants to act like a man. I'm going to respect his choice. I'm going to respect his choice." I'm sure the dad thought, "This is a poor choice, and I love him, but I'm going to respect him." And processing through that, you realize the father doing that, he didn't give his son any reason to hate him. At least that his father would have gone away mad and angry. And I think in doing this, the father left the door open and said, "Look, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to honor your wishes, and I'm going to respect you." And he did it. And so maybe this left the door open later for a reconciliation. Now, the younger son made some more choices. And unfortunately, choices weren't getting better at this point. He had the money. He decided to leave home. Now, what do when you're a kid and you've got a pocket full of money? Spend it. You know, we say where I come from, it's burning a hole in your pocket. You know, that money's there. You got to spend it. My youngest son is this way. Case is 5. And if he's got money, he's going to spend it. If he has bubble gum, he's going to chew it all. I mean, I'll give him a pack of gum. Case, I said one piece. You know. My oldest son, Andrew, is this way. He'll save money, but when he goes to spend it, he's going to spend it all, and then he's going to try and borrow some from you to spend a little more, you know, get all he can. Now, my daughter, Callie, bless her, she will save her money, and she'll say, "No, I'm not going to buy that. It's too much." We were flying on the plane here. We're looking at the menu, because now you don't get any food on the plane unless you pay for it. And she says, "No, Dad, it's too much. It's just, honey, eat, baby. I want you to eat." You know, she's just insane. But the youngest son in this story was like my case. He wanted to spend his money. And so he went out and he partied and he spent his money. And you know, when you have money to spend, it's easy to find friends. Everybody wants to be your friend if you're spending the money. He found some friends, I imagine, that quickly helped him spend that money, you know. He didn't choose to invest it. He didn't choose to save it. He spent it. And when it was gone, it was gone. And he found himself alone and in need. Now, have you ever been there? Have you ever made a bad choice or two? You know? And then the bad circumstances made the bad choice worse. You know, the young son, he didn't have control over the famine. He didn't have control on what was going on in their economy there. But, you know, maybe if there had been no famine, he could have gotten a job easier than he wanted and could have done better. But things went, as we say, from bad to worse. And he was living with the consequences of his poor choices. No money, no food. You have to understand, in this cultural context, for a Jew to be feeding pigs was as low as you could go. Because in their culture, it was a taboo. They didn't touch pigs. They didn't eat pigs. That was all off limits for them. And for him to have to lower himself to get a job feeding pigs. Can you relate? Have you ever come to the end of your resources? You're in a situation, you've done everything you can do that you know to fix it. And you're at the end of your strength and you just, I don't know what to do. Now, hopefully you aren't feeding pigs and hungry, but there are situations in our lives today that we come up against a wall and I don't know what to do. I've been there. We hit bottom. A few years ago, our family hit bottom in many ways. My wife was struggling with depression. Seriously depressed. My son was struggling in school. The school was telling us he's not going to make it in middle part of school, you know. And your world's starting to crash around. You say, God, is this what you brought me for? What's happening? But end of your strength, you don't know what to do. So this young man, in this story, Jesus was telling him he hit bottom. But then he made another choice, a very important choice. Can we back up on the scripture to where it says, let's go back to the third. Once again, back to where? Back. Okay. Back one more. Sorry. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? He's like remembering. He's remembering home. He's remembering where he came from. He's remembering, hey, I left a pretty good situation. And then he says, he's making this choice. He says, I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. This was a good choice. So what did he do? He went back. He made a choice to go back, and he was going to ask for mercy. He chose to do it humbly. He wasn't going to come back in and say, hey, I'm back, Dad. I'm ready, you know, I'm good. I had a great time, I'm back. No, he came back humbly. He says, my Dad, I don't even deserve to be your son. But will you just give me a job? So I believe there was a change of heart. Seems like there was a change of heart in this young man. And this choice that he made, just like his poor choices had consequences, good choices had consequences too. This good choice he made, it was a choice that could bring life. It was probably a choice that saved his life. The father said, this son of mine was dead and is alive again. It was a choice between life and death. Do you realize that your choices have the power to bring life or to bring death? How you treat someone, maybe not literally, but how you treat someone can bring life or death to their life. How you speak to your friend or to your parent or to your child has consequences. How you treat a stranger has consequences. How you get along with your neighbors. There's consequences. And personal choices that we make in our life have consequences too. Your choices have the power to bring life to death. So what happened? His dad had been waiting, I don't know, waiting, looking, hoping, praying that this young son would come back. But it says he saw him from a long way off. And at this point, the father made a choice. The father had every right to judge his son, to not accept him, to bring judgment. Because he was guilty. He could have said, son, you take him and use all, you're done here. But his father made a choice. He made the choice to show compassion and mercy rather than anger and punishment. The father decided to step back and take a look at the the bigger picture. And his father realized he's gone. He was dead. And this is life again. His father chose redemption. Now, the other player in the story, the older brother, he had a few choices to make, too. We all have choices. How is he going to react to his brother? How is he going to treat his brother coming home? You know, he received the news probably. He was coming home from a long day of work. And he hears the music. And he says, what's this? What's going on? Ask a servant. They told him, little brother's home. Dad threw a party for him. You know? So he comes home after a long day of work, and his little brother, who's been out and partied, they've now thrown a party for him, and they're treating him maybe like a hero, he feels. And he reacts in anger, in disgust. He couldn't see the bigger consequences. He couldn't show compassion or love. He couldn't feel the love. But do you realize the way that the older brother acted didn't change, really, I don't think that much for the younger brother. The way he acted just hurt his father. And I don't think that was his consequence. Maybe it was. He wanted to send a message to him. But his actions didn't really hurt his brother. It hurt his father, who was innocent. His choice hurt someone that he didn't. Our choices have consequences for other people and for us. So I want to bring this back to us. What kind of choices are you making? I'm sure if you're like me, you know, I make some good choices and I make some bad choices. And I certainly make mistakes. But I want to ask you today, who do you identify with in this story? Are you like your younger son? The younger son who was experiencing his first taste of freedom. It's been like the first one. Maybe it's your first time out in the world. And you're away from home for the first time. It's like, freedom. And finally, do what I want to do. And then it's telling you what to do. Maybe you identify with that. Maybe you identify with the father who's been hurt by someone he loves. Realize the father just had love for this son. And they probably hurt him. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe there's someone in your life that you love, that you care about, who's hurting you. Or maybe you're in a situation where you need to put some boundaries on somebody who's hurting you. Maybe a child or a friend or a colleague or a spouse or a work situation. Maybe. You know, and you're there. Or do you identify with the older brother? Are you in a situation where you feel like I'm being treated unfairly? I'm getting what we say the short end of the stick. You know, I don't know. I'm getting burnt here. Maybe you've played by the rules and you see the person who ignores the rules getting away. And you're like my kids. It's not favor. Maybe it's not. Or do you have, maybe you're at the point where your life is hit bottom, like that younger son. Desperation. Maybe you're at the point where you're like, maybe, and no one else knows about it, but you're in a place personally where you're at the end of the road and you say, God, I'm done. I don't know what else to do. Or maybe you're at the point where you realize you need to go back and make some things right. And you need to go and fix some things. There's one more thing you need to know about a choice made. And it was a choice not made by you or me, but it was a choice made by Jesus Christ. And he told his disciples, and he tells you this. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I want to tell you today that Jesus has chosen you. And the question simply to you is, when you choose him, how will you respond to Jesus' choice? You know, I'd like to just take a moment for us to respond. Because maybe God has spoken to you through something, said to them, maybe through a song, maybe through something someone has shared. And I think it's good just to take a moment to respond. So if you want to respond, that's the moment to respond. Father God, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I believe, Spirit of God, that you're speaking to people's hearts. And I pray that this can be a time, Lord, a moment, where as we hear your voice, that we can respond and obey. That we can make a choice to serve you, to follow you, to render the control of our lives to the control and let you control our lives. God, I pray for the folks in this room right now. Lord, that they can see the power of their choices and that they can choose to obey you and that they can choose to follow you, God, but not out of some taskmaster that you're beating them into submission, but out of the place of love, Lord. I pray that we can see, Jesus, that you chose us. I pray we would choose you. I pray that we can see the sacrifice you made and realize that we need, that we're in a place that we need forgiveness for our sins, that we need liberation from the things that are holding us back. I pray for people right now, God, who might be struggling with fear, Lord, with uncertainty that they're facing in their life. That might be with a relationship or with finances or future. I pray, Lord, you speak to them right now. God, I pray for folks who are facing decisions, Lord, God, crisis in their life. That you would speak to them now, Lord, and that they can respond. God, I pray that we can choose this fruit. Lord, because following you is a series of choices. It's not a one-time thing that we do when we're 5 years old, but it's something that we have to choose every day to continue to follow you. And I pray, Lord, that you give us the power and grace to do that. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for Damascus Road, Lord, that you brought it here. I pray you would use it, Lord, for all that you intend. Lord, all the vision that you put in, Lord, that they can see those things happening. But the power is in the choices we need to make. So I pray you will give us your help and strength. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. God bless.